is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Marianne Castello and Danielle Orsino, talking sports, entertainment, and hot topics. Let's get the conversation started on Liberty Bell Smack right here, right now. And you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. We're here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time drive time for you folks in the East. And if you are not in Philly, we have five ways you can listen to us, whichever works best for you. If you can't tune in to WWDB because we've gone dark and you in Philly know what we mean, you could find us on HD2 radio station 97.5, or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere from the WWDB radio app, or go to WWDBAM.com and click listen live. Or better yet, you could call to listen or talk to us at 888-329-3306. Or even better, you don't have an audio station to listen to us, you could find us on Facebook Live right now on WWDB's page or Liberty Bell Smack page, and you could see our lovely faces. I am Marianne Castello, one of your hosts for tonight's show. I have a dynamic presence in the realm of holistic health and wellness, serving as a board-certified holistic health practitioner and a licensed massage therapist. Beyond my clinical practice, I remain a prominent figure in media, hosting my own TV and radio shows, and as a motivational speaker. I'm a best-selling, award-winning, and critically acclaimed author from the Los Angeles Tribune, and I'm passionate about music and currently touring the world with Nectar, the legendary rock band. But let's face it, that's enough about me, because I have this beautiful woman waiting in the green room, waiting to come out, and she has a string of awards under her belt. She is a celebrated fantasy novelist who dreams of crafting immersive realms for her audience. Her compelling word weaving pays homage to a multitude of personal muses, from Chris Claremont and George Perez to Anne Rice, Jim Henson, and Wonder Woman. She currently resides in the Vale with her pups, which we met last week, one of them, and writing, cosplaying, ignoring the real world, watching football, practicing martial arts, and let's welcome our host, Danielle Orsino. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Marianne. I've got Carlos actually already scratching at the door, and he's like, Mom, I'm part of the show now. He's like, what's going on? So the Yorkie wants in.
He's chomping at the bit.
Yeah, he already feels like, you know, he should be a co-host. He wants his name up in lights. So I've already had to calm him down. He has a little tie. He already gave me his headshot. He wants me to submit it. It's a whole thing already with him.
I'm absolutely sure. And you know what? Speaking of which, when people listened to Liberty Bell Smack last week, I think we were all a little bit tired on our tryptophan from the turkey and the sweet potatoes. And we left, we saw one of your puppies who was 10 pounds solid. We went through that whole spiel. All right.
Yes.
Probably about 12 pounds now from after Thanksgiving.
Might be. Yeah.
So we left because we all had dessert waiting for us for Thanksgiving.
Well, okay.
Is it gone?
No. You see, I may have fibbed a little bit. I know I said I ate the turkey, but to be honest, we had a little bit of a turkey accident. I feel like I got jinxed from the week before, you know, but okay. So this is what happened. I'm not going to name the store. Let's just say you can buy fresh food that's whole there. And maybe Amazon has acquired it. That's all I'm going to say. I always get my turkeys from there. They're always fresh. They're wonderful. But I always follow Martha's recipe. This year, because I wasn't really feeling up to it, I went against Martha. I will never do that again. Martha, I swear. So I purchased an oven-ready fresh turkey. So you're supposed to like pick it up from there. It's all wrapped in foil. All you do is pop it in the oven. That's all you're supposed to do. Let it roast for like 3 hours. You follow their directions. It comes out perfect. So yeah. I listened to them. And after 2.5 hours, it says you turn the oven up to like 425, take all the aluminum foil off, and you just brown it. Well, after 2.5 hours, I did that. Pull it out, take all it off. It was raw. Like raw. And my husband comes in and I'm like, and I'm sticking it with the thermometer everywhere. And I'm like, the thermometer must be broken. He's like, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, okay, wise guy, here. Well, he just goes and puts his hand on the turkey because he does it once and he pulls it out and he's like, okay, the thermometer's broken. And then he winds up hitting the turkey like by accident and he's thinking he's going to burn his hand. He didn't. It was cold.
Oh.
So he picks up the bottom of the turkey and he looks at all the vegetables.
Right.
And he's like, they're still like in the middle. They're just getting cooked. So he puts his hand in the middle of the turkey. It was ice cold. He's like, they gave us a frozen effing turkey. And I'm like, we're supposed to serve it in a half hour. And he's like, okay, all right, let's think. So I'm like, I'm making meatballs because I have no idea what else to do now. And I'm kind of panicking. We didn't wind up eating until 7:30. Still cooking the turkey.
Oh,
I got my money back though. They admitted that they oversold and that we were supposed to be told that, you know, they had to defrost it. They didn't.
Oh no.
Yeah, I wasn't a happy camper, but I eventually got to the cannolis. But I got to them at about 9-ish.
Oh, that makes it better. They could stay in your hips longer. It's great.
Yeah, I was still so mad about everything else.
Yeah.
But they did contact me. I got my money back. But I'm like, this doesn't help me when you're panicking. So I wound up making sauce and like meatballs to have on this, like just in case. Because I was like, what am I going to do? This is so bad. So,
you know, pasta and meatballs with a side of mashed sweet
potatoes. That's what he was. He was like, oh, we'll just serve the mashed potatoes. I'm like, you can't do that. So I was just like having a full-on panic attack. And then I'm like, Martha, I will never go against you again. Ever, ever, ever. I will not deviate from Martha. She is the queen. I need to listen to her. Never again. I don't care how I'm feeling. I will get up and do the darn turkey like she says.
Oh,
always.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. It was a little rough. It's a little rough there. So yeah, while we were doing the show, my husband was like texting on my other phone, like checking it. And he's like, I think we're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And I'm just like, it's not going to be fine. That's why Carlos was like, can I come in with you? Because Papa Bear out there is like losing it. So I don't blame Carlos for wanting to be with us instead. Well, so that's why the Yorkie was like, let me on air.
Well,
safer in here.
It's probably safer. And it's, I can't believe like that. Frozen. That's just horrible.
Like he put his hand inside and he was like he touched the top and he just starts hitting it. I'm like, okay, first stop spanking the turkey, which is another thing I didn't think I'd be saying on air, but yeah, it wasn't happy. And then between the giant, it was just a messed up day. Yeah. So anyway, did everybody else have a nice dessert?
I did. I did a little too much. I stayed away from apple pie because I had pumpkin pie. So I was really excited about that. And yeah, to put the whipped cream on top and all
the
of
whole
that.
Thing.
And my guilty pleasure is ice cream. So yes, there was ice cream on things and all of that. And you know, and then there was chips and dips even with that. As gross as that sounds together, but you ate them at different times through this as you were picking.
Salty, sweet. I get it.
Thank God for a veggie tray because at least you felt like you were doing something. Like, yes, you have a mouthful of pumpkin pie. Ooh, here's a celery stick. Here's
I balance.
So I'm like, well, we'll see what happens, but we'll have to figure that out. And Then all of a sudden it turns around and it's like, the time was over. You had to clean up. So I think I burned some calories on there, you know, totally there. Like I would sit there and say, okay, we have to clean up. Oh, this has to go to the trash bin. Oh, this has to go outside in the garbage. You know, one of those. So you felt like you burned off a couple of calories. Probably not. I probably have to work out now probably for a week, but you know, it was fun.
At least you got something in.
Yeah. So we did. And I think Tyler, I know he's running other shows because he's always so good at doing this, is that he was looking at, what was it? A pineapple casserole, pecan pie with the mud on top. Remember all that?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I don't know if he ever had it.
Desserts at the Conklin household are a staple. You cannot have a good one without good desserts.
Ah.
Did you get everything you wanted? Did you get like the mud pie or whatever? Like you had some things going on there. Did you get it all?
Not everything, unfortunately, but you know, I got most of what I wanted for. And unfortunately, by the end of it, everyone had already like, you know, had like big pieces. So there wasn't a lot left for leftovers. So I only got like one helping.
What? Oh, just one. Just one helping. That's it.
That's it. That's portion control.
Yes. You were being smart.
Portion Very control smart. By committee.
I did the cannoli dips. Yeah. Well, you know what? Look, sometimes it just has to be what it is. You need the help where you can get it.
Yeah. Wish I had some more of that
stuff.
Well,
it's holiday season time.
Unfortunately. Or fortunately, I guess.
I know.
But especially
I had my cannoli dip still, and I saved some of the chips like on the side.
Lucky.
You know, like when I was serving them, I put a couple in a bag already.
Nice.
And I was like, those are mine.
You're reserving
them? Yes. Yes, I did that already. I was like, and you don't need all the homemade cannoli dip. That was already in the Tupperware, like put aside. I'm like, and that's mine. That's my reward. So it was like, you know, for the rest of the week, thank you. Yes, here's yours.
Yeah. And well, I happened to reserve a bottle of wine. That's what I did.
There you go.
So I didn't have dessert, but I did have wine to bring home. And, you know, I figured, hey, why not?
Do what you got to do.
It's gone now, just so you know. But it took a couple
It's been
of
a
days.
Week. It's, you're allowed to. Yeah, that's a good allowed. That's a good time frame.
I think I did good. And speaking of doing something good, but then again, maybe it wasn't so good.
Uh-oh.
Talking about sports, what happened with the Giants? What is going on?
Okay, where do I begin?
To talk about this. You know,
don't get us started. Don't get us started.
Okay, it hurts. First of all, it hurts. Okay, let's just, I don't know what happened with the Cowboys. There's just, even before that, okay, we got DeVito, and I like DeVito. I truly like him, but he just didn't get a fair shot with the Bucks, and there's just issues there. But okay, I don't know what happened with the Cowboys. It was just a complete collapse. Drew Lock, he was never that good to begin with. He was backing up in Seattle. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. I believe Daboll should be fired. I know a lot of people don't agree with that. I think Mike Vrabel should be brought in. As for the Daniel Jones thing going to the Vikings, I still believe this. I think Philly should have picked him up. And I'm going to stand by that statement. And Eagle fans, well, before you start yelling at your radio or your Facebook right now, because I know that's what you're doing, hear me out. Because I've said this on other sports shows and I've convinced them and they've turned around and been like, okay, that's a good point. You're headed to the playoffs. We all know that. Even if it's a wild card berth. Okay. So, you know, Hurts sometimes gets hurt. You know, the shoulder thing. So wouldn't you bring somebody in who has got chemistry with your best offensive weapon? He does. Okay. Jones and Saquon, Batman and Robin, why not bring him in and see what he can do with an offensive line? He also can run. That would have been what I would have done, gotten him for $300,000 instead of sending him to the Vikings, where he's just going to sit there. I mean, Sam Darnold eventually is going to turn back into a pumpkin. Maybe he'll get some reps. But personally, that's what I would have done. I think the way they handled Jones was horrible. They told him actually to stay home.
Oh, wow.
Don't even come in. They were just like, look, could you just stay home? And not come at all, because if he got injured, they owed him guaranteed money. And they were like, so just sit on the couch, do nothing, and peace be with you. And he was like, look, could you just like let me go then and give me a shot somewhere else? So while everybody was mad at him and like, oh, he quit on the team, I think he handled himself very well. I'm going to give him credit. Stephen A. Smith said it. And ESPN people know what that's about. I'm not even going to get into it. So, yeah, we'll be here forever. Just going to let it go. I'm oosahing the moment. So, all in all, I think the Giants have just thrown in the towel on the season. And that's it. I think it's just over. So, do I want them to pick up Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. That's all. I just, then the whole family comes, and then I got to deal with Coach Prime. And it's one of those where I'm like, I already got to deal with Rogers in this city. Do I need another diva?
Well,
do I?
Look,
I don't know.
This way, this diva here is thinking now, you know, like how you could buy a Giants towel in the gift shop and all that stuff. I think I could bedazzle that towel now and just throw it up on the wall for the year and call it quits. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. 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 That's what I'm telling you. It's done. It's over. I've accepted it. But next year, look out.
You don't think they can make a comeback from this?
No. Oh, God, no. No, no, no.
I'm always on the positive side, so I'm just asking.
I'd be blue, but even I'm like, oh, this is over, honey bunches. Let's just sit down, have a picnic on the sideline, you know, have some fun, and just crawl this whole thing over. We could send in a Pop Warner team, and they would do better.
Ah.
It's that bad, but I've accepted it. And all I can say is, next year, man, we are just coming back. We're just, yeah, yep, next, it's next year.
Maybe the hint, and I'm going back to this, between the Cowboys and the Giants, is one team may have better cheerleaders. So that could be why this happened?
No, Jerry Jones is Satan's lapdog. And he's made a deal with the devil. I just want to see the contract. No, that's all it is. That's it. And we suck. That's all I got. You know, I'd like to give you more on that. But no. The only thing I will say is every time we either play Dak or are supposed to, and it's big, he gets hurt. So we have definitely got some juju going on in that stadium. And I think it's from when Eli played and beat them when the stadium first went up and signed the wall. And he's like, first time. I think Eli did something. I'm pretty sure he's got something to do with it.
I listened to you so intently with active listening. This is the second stadium that has karma in it. Because a couple weeks ago, it was about the AT&T stadium in Texas, Arlington, Texas.
Well, this is the same stadium. Fight. So you see, I got some juju in AT&T.
I'm saying to you that this is the second time that you are talking about karma in this. And question, did they ever fix the roof on the stadium?
They did, supposedly. Yeah. But nobody seems to know, like, why it happened. And everybody's still talking about the sun. Like, even the Giants were, like, watching the positioning of the sun. So, I don't know. Something's going on in that stadium. I think they should sage the whole place. I really do. I think they need to go in and just sage it. And it just, you know, somebody needs to go in and fix it. Or see if there's any, like, you know, hex bags buried at the end zone. Something like that. Something's going on there.
I think we need to sage the place.
Yeah. You know what? I volunteer, okay? All right, Jerry, let me tell you something. As much as I am a Giants fan, because this will help us too, I will personally come in and I will sage your stadium for you free of charge. Just give me tickets to the Giants game. That's it. Actually, I want a box. And I will come in and sage your stadium. And I will do it every season for you.
There you go. I'd like to help you with that. We could do it from one side. You could do it from the other. Meet in the middle somewhere. And
I'll have a tambourine too. And I'll do the whole thing. I will wear the prairie skirt. I'll do all of it. I'll bring my crystals. We'll have a ball. I will make a whole scene of it. And I will try to help you out. I don't know if it'll work, but I will do it for you. I would go sage, you know, MetLife if I thought it would help. And that ain't helping. I know that. But I would do it. But something's going on down there. AT&T, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe because it's called AT&T and, like, you all know what happened there. And then, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's, like I said, it's just bad karma. But I'll sage it.
It's amazing. And then, besides this whole Giants debacle, you have another debacle that you wanted to mention.
Okay, here we go, Brady. Mm-hmm. Brady, you and me right here. I don't understand why you took a broadcasting job for the amount of money you did only to go and buy into a team. There are very strict rules on what a broadcaster can do and must do before a game, especially because now you're a color commentator. We're not even going to get into how well you're doing that job, Honey Bunch. And let's not get into the whole Daniel Jones thing that you said, and then you weren't really educated on the whole thing. Leave that one alone now, because we know how you feel about the Giants. But you're supposed to do pre-game meetings. But as an owner of the Raiders, he is not allowed in facilities.
Really?
So, yeah. And he cannot comment on referees.
Okay.
Can't comment on the NFL in general. So, how are you a color commentator when you can't do this? He can't be in a facility. And remember, the Raiders and the Chiefs are rivals. So he apparently interviewed Patrick Mahomes back in October in the facility. A lot of people aren't happy about that. It's a no-no. So the finance department of the NFL met on it, and they now want to put stricter guardrails on him, on what he can and cannot do. So you've taken your broadcasting job, which they're paying him a lot of money for, from here, and we're narrowed it to here, and now we're going to narrow it to here. To here. This is like, so I have no idea. There's so many conflicts of interest here. I just don't know what this man can do. And he's just, because he can't go to these pregame meetings and these media meetings, right. He has no idea what's happening. And he made that mistake with Daniel Jones. He kept saying he quit on the team. He did all this stuff. Yet everybody knew the team asked him to stay home. So when he asked to be released, it was because they were saying, you got to stay home. He didn't quit on anybody. So he went on this huge rant and everybody's sitting back going, dude, we all talked about this in the pre-meeting, pre-game. We discussed it. Be quiet. And he's ranting about it. Everybody's kind of looking at him like, dude, okay. And when he was done, everybody was just like, uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh. Nice point. Yes. Thank you very much. What are you doing? So yes, pretty boy is having some issues. So they're going to discuss it again. The owners will. I believe the meeting is next week. I think it's the 10th. 10th or the 12th.
Okay.
And they're going to discuss it again and see if more guardrails will be put on Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady. Well, yeah, I never thought I'd be saying it like that. No, I'm not talking the Brady Bunch. Mr. Tom Brady.
I was just going to say, here's a story.
I was thinking Sunshine Day. I was just thinking Sunshine Day. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. Yep, I have Greg and Marcia in my head right now. Yep. So that's what's going on in the NFL. There's just so much. I swear it's the Real Housewives. I've said it. The NFC East is the Real Housewives of the NFL. We're just petty as heck.
Really?
It's getting worse.
Well, it's one of these topics that everything in the world right now seems a little... I'm going to say it in one word because this will give it away. A little wicked. A little wicked. Does that sound familiar to you right now?
Possibly. Maybe. Maybe I've heard it 10,000 times, even on a cable commercial.
Well, I will tell you, there are mixed reviews on this movie that just came out, Wicked. For those of you who knew it was a musical, you know, they've turned it into a movie, right? And they're already saying it's a box office force to be reckoned with because it's embarking on all kinds of awards, expected to make it into the major Academy Awards. It's a contender, they're saying. And I think that it had some early momentum ahead of Monday's Golden Globe nominations, where they're predicting that that will perform well and things like that. But they said that Wicked represents pure magic that movies can bring to audiences, and every detail is beautifully crafted and designed, and the actors are all exceptional, and they're saying the music is second to none, and they're saying together it's adding up to be a transporting experience like no other. So I thought that was interesting that somebody would say that about Wicked. And for people who don't know, because I know that you can get into like the really good points of this movie, is... they're saying, is it somebody named Glinda? It's a student. She has like some type of unflinching desire, I will say, for popularity. Is that kind of what this is about? I did not see the movie, so I cannot.
I haven't seen it, but I've gotten a summary on it and stuff. I just talked to somebody who actually went to the play and then immediately went to see the movie. So they would know the differences. And I was like, well, that's dedication, man. Because I was like, all right, I don't know if I'm going to go that far for it. But yeah, it's kind of about that and then realizing strengths and weaknesses, because then she befriends the person that she's kind of bullying a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like buddies. But I still don't get it, because I have questions about Wizard of Oz, but this was written after. I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have about it, but I have to see it.
Well, is it true that they had an encounter with the Wizard of Oz, and then the relationship, like, I don't know, I guess you would call it a crossroad that they reach,
yes,
and then they go on different like paths. Is that what the premise
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's kind of, yes, it's kind of like that. And they have these moments, like, I know Glenda or some, you know, isn't nice to Elphaba in the beginning. And then she gives her the hat at the school dance, and everybody starts to kind of make fun of her, and then Glenda realizes what she does, and it's like a beautiful moment in the movie, and then they wind up dancing together. And Ariana Grande has said that she never learned the dance, so they would have this real chemistry together.
Okay.
And I thought that was really beautiful, and I know they have this great relationship, you know, in how they filmed it and all this stuff, and I think that's great, but I don't get how it all ties in. I guess you see Dorothy's like shadow or something, and maybe it's part two, I guess, where they cut it.
Yeah, from what,
and she'll come in later, and they'll explain stuff. I don't know.
From what I can recall, Tyler, from the few shots that I've seen. Again, I haven't watched it either, but from the few clips that have been already thrown online, it's the fact that Wicked, the movie here that we're watching, is just act one of the play, roughly.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. That way they could end at least on defying gravity and have that push on to, like, you know, they can make more money in the next sequel, basically.
So they're going to leave us on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I guess they just couldn't find some way to either shrink everything down from the actual play into just a 2-2.5 hour movie. I mean, I'm pretty sure people would have been happy with a 3 hour cut of Wicked instead of, like, you know, just this hour and 45 minutes, I want to say. Roughly, what's the actual timing?
Yeah, movies are so much longer now that I think they could have gotten away with, you know, that 2.5 hour mark. But then again, I don't know. This isn't something I've seen, like, I've been into.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that I talked to a couple of people in the music industry. Okay. I will not divulge your names because I didn't tell them I was going to tell them this, but we were talking about Wicked, and one of them, I believe, went to go see that, right? And his opinion was, he goes, the movie was good, but from a musical perspective, even though they're saying the musical was, you know, compared to none, really, he was like, he did not feel there was something in there that can climb the Billboard charts. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. as far as a hit song, you know how you have,
yes,
you
look, there's always something that drives it.
You know, when you had, oh my God, her name just
went, Gaga and Bradley Cooper. They had that duet. I forgot the name of the duet, but yeah.
And it was sitting there, and it's like, they always have some type of hit song. But the opinion here was, I don't think they have a hit song in this, despite how good the, you know, the movie was. It was good. Then I heard other people say, wasn't so good. But here's the part where I think is amazing. Here's my controversy right here.
Okay.
Did you hear about the mother who filed a class action lawsuit against Mattel Toy Company after the packaging on Wicked, the children's doll, sent the daughter to a
two
hardcore
things about it.
Full on pornographic website. That's where it took you to. Could you imagine that your daughter's sitting there playing with this doll? She decides she's going to go on the packaging, decides she's going to go the package read wicked.com, which actually was it's a porn site. It's full out. And they said it exposed some children to hardcore, full on nude pornographic images depicting actual intercourse, all kinds of things. Like, it wasn't just a photo of a woman.
No, it was like,
it was, I don't need to go any further, but you could just use your imagination. And the toys were recommended and advertised from children ages 4 and older. Could you imagine? No. And so she actually filed a lawsuit.
I think it's a little extreme, but then you're looking at Mattel going, you didn't check the website? Like, really? Like, nobody checked the domain? Really? Come on. That's kind of duh. But then at the same point, you're thinking, when the musical came out, didn't somebody secure it?
Right.
Like, but there's so many kind of, you kidding me, right? Moments in that that you're just like, people are getting so sensitive. Like, okay, that's bad. And I'm not saying you're too sensitive on that. But did you hear that there's a green skin warning?
No.
What
is a green skin warning for people who don't know?
Okay, because Elphaba's green and there's a lot of green racism.
Right.
People are warned that if you're green, and apparently there's a medical condition that can turn your skin green. I forgot the name of it. People are warned that if you're sensitive about it, this movie could bring that out. And there is a warning. I think it's in the UK now.
Oh, wow.
That like they show before. And I'm like, okay, no offense. Unless you're Kermit the Frog, I don't know how sensitive and how triggered you're going to be by Wicked because she's green and people bully her for being green. It's not easy being green, babe. I don't know what else to tell you on this, but like,
can't we just chalk it up to regular
really
racism?
We have to worry about,
honestly, at that point.
Yeah, like I get that. If you want to say this is like a comparison, and this therefore this could be, I get that. But to specifically point it toward green people.
Well, the lawsuit seeks more than $5 million plus interest and damages and attorney fees for the class members. Could you imagine?
$5 million?
Yeah. And she said it was filed on Tuesday in a Los Angeles federal district court accusing Mattel, of unjust enrichment, negligence, and violation of California's consumer protection laws. And yes, they're seeking more than $5 million.
I'm sorry. How long was this kid on the site?
Oh, I'm sure it's probably not long.
Okay.
Might have said, hey, mom, what's this? Could you imagine your face?
For $5 million.
$5 million.
To be fair, that's almost enough to recoup them for the cost of the concession stand.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Going to see the movie.
$5 million, yes, it was. And I am sitting here thinking to myself, there's only one time in my life that I couldn't sue and my skin turned green. And that was because I was in high school. They were doing a fundraiser. And I volunteered for it because I thought Jell-O wrestling would be a cool idea. Little did you know, to keep the Jell-O, you have to keep it in ice. Okay? In ice. And
or else it turns. Yeah.
It turns liquidy. You put your ankle into that ankle deep, you are like frostbitten in 5 minutes, it feels like. And they're like, hurry up. Well, it was green Jell-O. So, you know, when everybody's getting slammed around in there and you only have, you know, like a bathing suit on kind of thing doing this thing, when you get out, you think you could rinse it off. I was green for like 3 days and like on my skin, not fully green, you know, but some spots that didn't come off. It was quite interesting.
You need to be careful when you go to see Wicked.
Yeah, you do. And make sure you don't have green Jell-O with you is what my.
So if this triggers you in any way, you need to just take a deep breath because you were once a green person.
Yes, I defrosted. So the green's gone, you know, a little couple of screaming and all scrubbing. And mine happened from the outside in. Apparently, from what you're saying, it happens from the inside out.
Yes, it's a medical condition of some kind. Right. I don't know all that because I've just never heard of it. I've heard of like, you know, people drinking colloidal silver and turning blue.
Yes. And this is,
you know, I've heard of that, but this, I can't say I've ever come across a green person.
No. And speaking of medical, we have a very special public service announcement that we'd like to run on our show, Liberty Bell Smack. And we will be right back. I'm Marianne Costello along with Danielle Arsino. We'll be right back on Liberty Bell Smack right after this.
Imagine waking up, unable to lift your arms, open your eyes fully, or even smile. For the thousands living with the rare autoimmune disease myasthenia gravis, this is reality every day. Myasthenia gravis weakens muscles, turning simple tasks into daily struggles. But there's hope. Advancements in treatments and support from organizations like the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America offer MG patients and their families a brighter future. Together, we're fighting for a world without myasthenia gravis. To learn more about this disease or make a gift to support research and education, visit the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America website at myasthenia.org. myastenia.org. That's myastenia.org.
Hi, my name is Eric Gray. I wrote the book Backyards to Ballparks, and when I'm in Philadelphia, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack.
And we are back on WWDB AM Talk 860 on Liberty Bell Smack. Thank you all who are listening in right now on Facebook Live as well on WWDB's page or Liberty Bell Smack so you can see us. Now, Danielle.
Yes.
I have a very special, special announcement to make.
Make me comfortable.
Yeah, I'm okay. very excited about this because I know you do not know. So I wanted to tell you here first, along with our listeners. So Tyler, do you have like a drum roll you can give me real quick? This is good. This is really good.
I got you covered right
Let's
here.
Let's see if he'll do it. See, I need a drum roll. I need something. Woo, it's perfect. That's good. Thank you, Tyler. I am going to play something for you that I had gotten on Thanksgiving Eve. And I didn't mention it on the Thanksgiving show because I was saving it for this because we were talking all about Thanksgiving. So I'm going to give you about 30 seconds of this message. I want you to hear it for yourself, okay?
Congratulations, Marianne. We are not only critically acclaimed best-selling authors by the LA Tribune, we are now international best-selling authors. So not only did we hit bestseller status, but we hit international bestseller status, which is huge, super exciting, lots of cool things going on. Here is a
So that's why I wanted to show you. Yes, I'm so excited. And here is the book, the one that went out on Kindle. It is Legacy Builders, Leaders of Global Impact.
That's amazing.
I was so excited. I couldn't.
Congratulations. That's huge. You know,
and the person who was speaking is Lori A. McNeil. She is wonderful. She is fascinating. And she offered this opportunity to us. And we did a whole collaboration on this, right? And Tim Story, he is a great life coach of the stars, you know, like out there with Tony Robbins, everybody else. He wrote the foreword for the book. And
that's great.
It went out on Kindle about a week, actually not even a full week before Thanksgiving. And so because of that, it is now available in print beside Kindle. And I was so excited because I've been a best-selling author. For those that don't understand that, that was like being a national across the United States and all. But international was explained to me that it was bought in international markets and hit, you know, up on the charts. So I am so, so
That's
excited.
Amazing.
I'm holding this up because I do have personalized copies that I can hand out, you know, and that I would love to write to people, but it is a story and it's about my legacy. And WWDB is mentioned in this book. That's why I wanted to mention it here live. But
awesome.
Lori McNeil, I want to give you a special thank you for the opportunity. And we landed up on the red carpet and it's critically acclaimed, this book, by the LA Tribune. So I have never in my life thought, okay, here's the four-time published author, you know, best-selling, now international bestseller and critically acclaimed. And I wanted to tell you because I know you're an author, so I know you know what this means because I know exactly how you felt when you hit best-selling. And I'm sitting there. You never seen somebody jump out of their seat as fast because she sent me a graphic that I have posted on social media and all. And I saw the little emblem. So I saw bestseller and I was like, this is great. That I know. And then I seen these little words on top. And you know, when you're like you're on your phone and you're trying to blow it up. I was like, that's as international. And I was like, and then I listened to the voicemail and I'm like, oh my God. So I called her up. And I said, I want to announce this right here on WWDB. Do I have your permission, you know, that I could go ahead and play this part of the message? And she said, God, I wish it was more exciting, you know, but it was me telling you that.
That's pretty exciting.
It's That's very awesome. Exciting. And then there's like virtual events that will happen with the LA Tribune with this book. I'm so excited to get it out there. But I wanted to show you because it adds to the collection that's going on behind me. And I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, and it's just pages and pages and pages of like great information and how people are leaving their legacy. And it's not meaning like, how much money do I have in the bank and, you know, what I'm leaving at my house. No, these were people that got together to say, this is how you can move your life forward. This is how you can move somebody else's life forward. Leave a legacy when you go, not just all the materialistic things. I mean, materialistic things are nice, but what is your legacy going to be? You know, a special message yes. that might reach somebody. So I was so privileged to be part of this project. And the LA Tribune, Mo Rock, who, you know, is, he actually had his endorsement on here the whole entire time. You have Ava Emanuel, who was actually on the red carpet with us when she was interviewing us, but it actually became recently an international best-selling
book. That's awesome.
Book.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Amazing. And I just wanted to announce it here. And I kind of told Tyler, you know, please have a drum roll for me somehow. You know, it's coming because I wanted to see your face because you mean the world to me. And
I'm so proud of you. That's awesome. It really is. And as an author, I know how hard that is.
Oh, thank you. I am over the moon. Like right now I'm getting all hot and, you know, like sitting here going, wow, I cannot believe this happened. And it's life changing. It's something you don't see it coming. You know, like when you saw it and you had to keep looking at it and going, is that saying what I think it says?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Then you go the next day in. Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah. Yep.
You did the same thing, right?
Yes, I did the exact. I kept waiting for it to disappear.
And it doesn't. And you're like pinching your skin going, is this really happening? Is this really happening? So on Thanksgiving, during our dessert time, I had to play all this and do all this for my family to say, this is what has happened, you know, because in one week, not only this book, but I was also telling you about the Everyday Heroes book. Remember when this was up here? Mm-hmm. And this one too is selling well. I have it in my office and people are buying it and then writing back
to me. Great.
And they're like, these are such inspirational stories. And I did, and part of mine feature my mom and my late dad.
Oh,
and today would have been their 65th wedding anniversary today. Yes. And he didn't quite make it to that, but my mom is with us. She's listening tonight. So happy anniversary, Mom, you know, and
hi, Mama,
to my dad, but was so excited and so proud. And
that's awesome.
Like I said, Laurie McNeil International, she's fantastic. And she was, you know, responsible for helping us all and seeing this project all the way through and to help guide us and do it. And I am truly honored. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that gets me to my next thing.
Oh,
we do this every week because these emails are going out fast and furious to authors, but we only have room for so many. We really only have room for so many. So please, please, we've been collaborating on these ideas of how to help authors. Tell us your idea.
Well, we both know how hard it is for authors to get their name out. So the idea is that authors could do 30-second book trailers and get their name out because books are sold everywhere. You don't have to just be in Philly. Now, it's nice if you're a local author because we do know how great Philly is about supporting local artists. But we get the name out to everybody. So it would be great if you guys could put a tagline together, where your book is sold, your genre, I got my little music going, and then we could put together a little 30-second book trailer because that's really what captures everybody's attention. Because you could do Bookstagram all day long, but we know those, believe me, I know how much those book tours cost.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Right here. I know I've spent the money on it, and you don't even get those reviews sometimes, or, you know, we get those 2-star reviews and you're like, what happened? Because they didn't really read it. Or you get that review that's really just a summary of your synopsis. Yeah, I got those ones too. So instead of spending the money there, why don't you do something where you can advertise on radio, on Facebook Live, everywhere that we do it, and not break the bank? So as authors, we thought we'd reach out to authors and do these 30-second book trailers and get your name out as much as possible to as many people as possible.
Absolutely. And matter of fact, we could even let them come on the show for a minute or so people can get to your face with the name. Like right now, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you could see Danielle, and I see up in the corner something very special, Danielle. What is that?
This is my first book, Locked Out of Heaven.
Woo-hoo!
This is a number one bestseller. We're actually on the most requested wish list on Amazon.
Yay!
Along with my other book, which is around here somewhere, Danius and Jaden, is one of the most requested. It's on the wish list. But these have been number one bestsellers. So is Thine Eyes of Mercy, which I should be getting my copy in very soon. But yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. If I was doing Locked Out of Heaven, I would probably do something like, let's see. They were abandoned on Earth by their creator, and now it's a fight to the death that they never wanted. Locked Out of Heaven.
There you go.
Something like that with some cool music in the background, available wherever fine books are sold.
There you go. There it is for you, folks. And please
write
it.
Simple.
Absolutely. That was perfect, by the way. Unrehearsed, too, I might add. So that was great.
Scott.
And then I'm going to mention Born to Risk again, because this is a movement and there's plenty of authors in here. And I am mentioning this, and a shout out to Emile Roman and Danielle Roman. She had a little bit of a mishap medically, and she's getting better. And really, just want to wish her good well wishes. And I know that she listens to WWDB since a very young child with her parents. I thought that
was cool.
Awesome.
That's very cool.
We will keep talking more about Born to Risk on future shows, but I have to tell you, I can't tell you how excited. I'm going to say it again. Get
That's
your copy
great.
Today. You know, legacy builders. I'm happy to leave a legacy. So I wanted to tell you that first. It's really awesome.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's even more amazing, but in a whole different way. Are you into art?
Yeah, I like art. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So did you hear about the painting with the banana, with the duct tape?
Yes.
Okay, so this cryptocurrency entrepreneur who bought a banana art, get this, for $6.2 million. Do you know what he did when he got it?
Did he eat the banana? Don't tell me he ate the banana.
He peeled the duct tape off and he literally sat there
eating.
It was
a real banana?
Yes, and he ate the fruit in Hong Kong on Friday.
And I didn't think it was a real banana. I just figured, like, I thought maybe the guy sculpted. He didn't even sculpt it. It was a real banana.
No, get this
one. He didn't go that far?
No, it was a Chinese-born gentleman who bought it. His name was Justin Sun. He peels off the duct tape and enjoyed the banana in a press conference that was held in the Peninsula, Hong Kong, one of the cities, they said, priciest hotels and in the popular shopping districts, right? One of the most popular shopping districts. And they said, he said it tastes much better than other bananas. And he said it's indeed, it was quite good. That was what he actually said. And could you believe, like, this art auction was so huge, right? They never expected to sell like what it did. It was so funny that I seen people putting up on Facebook where they duct taped a banana to their own wall in their home and saying, I'm selling this. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm like, can I put an orange and be like, look, I'm original now. I mean, what I thought maybe the orange wasn't real. Like he sculpted it, like maybe resin or something. At least put some effort in. But you're telling me the guy walked up, duct tape, and was like, there, John. Really? Like I said, I'm in the wrong business.
I have to tell you, I am quoting this right now, right? At the time, Sun said in a statement that the piece, and I'm going to quote this, represents a cultural phenomenon that bridges the worlds of art, memes, and the cryptocurrency community. I will personally eat the banana as part of this unique artistic experience, honoring its place in both art history and popular culture. Could you imagine? First of all, I wish I had $6.2 million laying around. That's the first statement I want to say. But could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
We are reading way too much into that. It's a banana with duct tape on a wall. Okay, we're reading way too much into this, and that banana is not that deep. I can guarantee you that banana ain't that deep. You tell it, you got that much out of it. No, 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 no. Flag on the play. No, no. I'm calling BS on this. No. If anybody buys that right now and thinks that banana was that deep, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn, and I got a tomato on the wall as well. That represents everything that's wrong in this world, because a tomato is really a fruit. So aren't we all really something else? I got the whole thing going right here. Let's go. No.
But you know what's funny? The piece attracted so much attention that it actually had to be withdrawn from the view in the gallery. So there was three editions sold for like $120,000.
Wait, you made three of them?
Yeah. And according to the gallery, original? they handled the sales at the time that it had so much attention that they had to actually take it out of view. And I have to tell you, I think I bought bananas. I'm Italian. We fix everything with duct tape. All right. So just understand that right from there. And so I have the duct tape here. I think I was going to do it in fancy colors. You know how they have little ducks on it.
Can we make a Liberty Bell one and auction it off?
For like I want to do that exactly. Please? So bad.
And we can each have our own banana.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I think that according to this, if it's worth millions, I mean, I just want to know.
Let's do our own fruit and like what it represents. Let's pick a fruit that represents each of us and put it up there. Tyler, are you in on this? I think we should do.
I take melons.
Oh my God, that is so obvious.
I got to go for pineapple.
You know, Marianne, I wasn't even going to go there with you on this.
Okay, I had to. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny.
I feel you
okay.
could.
So anyway.
I thought you were going to pick a pineapple and be a crown or something. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Well, I chose it.
No, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm just going to leave it alone. Are you in on this, Tyler? We're all going to pick a fruit.
Yeah, I chose the pineapple.
Put it down there. We're going to auction it off. Okay, you get the pineapple. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, you get the pineapple.
Love pineapple.
That's
great.
No problem. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I get a peach.
Aw.
Surprised you didn't choose dragon fruit, honestly.
Something like that.
Wow, Tyler.
Or starfruit.
Wow.
He was thinking more because of fantasy, not because of that.
Okay.
And now I'm going to go with peach and sweet.
Peach and sweet. Do you want to kick him to the moon? I say yes. No, maybe we should go farther.
I know where he was coming from. It was cute. I got where he was coming from on it. It could have been worse. He could have picked like a really small one and been like, oh, get you the, you know, we could have gone that, but no. Or coconut, because you're nuts, you know.
Yeah. No, since that's there, I want to kick him further than to the moon for that comment. Are you ready? I have to do this. Come on, you know it's coming.
Oh, what a segue.
Yeah, you're on a segue. And that is Nectar's Mission to Mars. It is out on CD with the commemorative booklet. And I do this every time to you. I can't help it. It's so much fun. And then Mission to Mars right here in the LP out from Deco Entertainment. We are so excited. And I have to do it. Here is the cool purple splatter.
It's a beautiful album.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It really is.
I really love it. And the song Mission to Mars is actually doing so well, even on YouTube, and all people are clicking on our lyric video. So thank you to all the fans. And then we did sales on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and people picked it up like wildfire. So thank you so much. And Deco Entertainment, I have to say it again. You have Charlie, you have Bruce, you have Robin, and everybody else who's involved. They do everything. They get everything out. They bundle things for all their musicians, and they are always doing that hand delivery of service. Greatest group of people you'll ever meet. I had to say that. So, Tyler, I hope you're enjoying your mission to Mars right now. I hope he is.
I'm sorry. I'm in space. For his
waiting for the space, like, echo. Perfect. Well, I do have to give one shout-out, Marianne, if I can.
Absolutely.
GalaxyCon Columbus is happening this weekend at the Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. And I know the pop-up bookshop with my friend C.R. Rice is there right now setting up feverishly. And a bunch of authors will be at the pop-up bookshop all weekend selling their books and autographing them. So if you are at GalaxyCon Columbus or you're in that area, I believe there are some tickets left. But I know there are some like stars that you wouldn't think might be like Kiefer Sutherland's going. You know, some people that I was like, oh, okay. I didn't expect them to be there that are there signing and doing pictures and all that good stuff. Like Spawn, you know, Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. A bunch of other comic book sci-fi people are all going, but the pop-up bookshop will be there selling a bunch of indie authors. So I just want to say hi to everybody. I'm sorry I'm not there. And head over to GalaxyCon Columbus if you're going to be in the area.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
I love those. GalaxyCon is a great convention. It really is. It's a great con. If people are, you know, in that area, they love it. They're always well run and they always have great guests. I've met Brandon Routh, Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum. I've met like all the Smallville guys and they're always super, super nice. And that's where I was supposed to meet Tyson.
Ah, there it
yes.
is. Tyson.
That's where, yeah.
maybe he'll be there and be there for us next time. But I cannot believe, again, I say this every week. It's like a broken record that an hour has passed. I feel like, you know, like if you're sitting there having a cup of coffee and talking and everything goes so fast.
I can't believe it.
Thank you for the listeners who are listening in and commenting. Thank you for all the people we've mentioned and authors. Please reach out to us at info@libertybellsmack.com if you're interested in this authorship program, or reach out to us directly on direct messaging to Danielle or to myself. You could find us on all social media. But I have to say, it's that time. And wow. Are you ready for our countdown?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Here we're going to count it down. I am Marianne Costello with Danielle Orsino, along with our chosen producer, Tyler, always on it. We'll be back next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here on WWDB on Liberty Bell Smack. Here we go. Five, four, three, two, one. Liberty Bell Smack.
That's what we're talking about.